And without further ado, Ruben will be talking about expanding GGML hardware for supporting the Vulkan API. Take it away, Ruben.
Yeah,
give
thank
him a round of applause.
Thank you, thank you. All right, so basically we've already heard quite a bit about GGML, and I'm here to give you like a different perspective from a developer point of view. Basically as the title says, I contributed the Vulkan backend to the Llama CPP and the GGML project, and that was basically my first major open source contribution. So quickly about the structure, just a little bit about myself and about the two projects, a few of the problems I ran into, how I solved them, and in the end a little bit about the community itself. So just very briefly, my name is Umut, I'm 27 years old from Germany. Got a master's of science in computer science from Universität Magdeburg. And ever since I'm a software engineer with a focus on C++ and Python. So the Llama CPP project, I'm not going to say too much about that. We've already seen quite a bit about it. It was started by Georgi Gaganov to run Llama models on the CPU. And I think he was focused on MacBooks or aiming at that because they don't have the they didn't have support for PyTorch, which was previously mostly used for running large language models. At first it was just for CPU inference, and the Llama CPP project itself acts as a kind of playground for the GGML development. Like all of the earlier, all of the experimental stuff happens in the Llama CPP project and then gets ported to the GGML project or synchronized with the GGML project, which is the more basic tensor library for running machine learning, or machine learning library for running models. So yeah, that's basically, as I said, so C and C++ based. It's optimized for CPUs, and at this point it also has a lot of support for running other accelerators, mostly GPUs, but as we've already heard, there's work on other hardware as well. So basically, I started, I joined the project at some point, like early 2023. It was still very, very early. All of the backend stuff that you heard about didn't exist yet, and we in the early days we had a big problem with it. Like when you run something using PyTorch, as you did previously, then you had to put the entire model onto the GPU. Otherwise, as soon as you put a little bit of PyTorch code onto the CPU, it would slow down terribly. Llama CPP solved that, but it came with its own problems. So in this case, it ran on the CPU. It ran very quickly. But there are two parts to running a large language model, two stages basically to executing, running a prompt, and that is parsing the prompt, which is called prompt processing, and text generation. You can think of this like reading and writing basically. And the writing part was very quick, even from the beginning on the CPU, because it basically doesn't need that much compute. It just runs as quickly as it can read the model from RAM. But the prompt processing part on CPU was very slow in the beginning, and it's still, if you just run on CPU, it's still not very fast. So basically, as someone with at least some development experience and the Master of Science, basically, and some experience from university and that kind of thing, I thought that I could probably solve it in some way. And the idea is to go back to the thing we just left behind, GPUs, and use that to speed up the slowest operations, which are matrix multiplications. And that's basically what's the main thing that CPUs slow it, and that slows down the reading part, the prompt processing. So there's a number of APIs you could use for that. Like the biggest ones, are of course, the biggest ones, of course, CUDA by NVIDIA. AMD has an alternative called ROCm. Intel is coming with its own thing with the one API, which we've also already seen here. I think in the FPGA talk, because it targets a few more things, and then there's a few open variants that are OpenCL, SQL, which is a little newer, and Vulkan. So basically, because I want something that runs on any kind of hardware, I decided to use Vulkan in the end. But at first, I went for OpenCL because it was much easier to implement. We've also already heard about BLAST libraries, which are like basic linear algebra, which can accelerate, or they provide ways to accelerate matrix multiplications. In this case, for OpenCL, there was already such a library, CL BLAST. And so, I think in March 2023, I just replaced the CPU-based BLAST acceleration that already existed in Llama CPP with a GPU-based CL BLAST implementation. I think I was by like a week, maybe the first one to publish that. But it is also very, this was simple to implement, but it's very far away from what we now call a GPU backend. Basically, it just moved the matrix multiplication part from the CPU to the GPU. So you copy the data from the CPU to the GPU memory, you execute the matrix multiplication on the GPU, and then you move the result data back to the CPU. And of course, you spend a lot of time transferring data with that. So the solution to that is, instead of transferring data, we have the data already in VRAM, and we run more of the model on the GPU. And that's basically what we started working towards. But at that point, I found out that OpenCL, while it's a nice idea, it's a little limited in the driver support isn't great. In many cases, there are specific extensions which are not supported by some of the vendors. If you use NVIDIA GPUs, then you cannot use 16-bit floats, which are very important for machine learning calculations. And so in the end, I decided to basically abandon OpenCL and try again with something else. So I went for Vulkan. If you've already looked into graphics programming, then you've already ran into Vulkan. It's a graphics API. But modern games, modern graphics applications also rely a lot on compute shaders, and that's basically general purpose compute. So you can use that to run machine learning stuff as well. The support is actually much better than OpenCL, and that's because of the gaming part. So every vendor wants people to be able to play games on their hardware, each GPU vendor, and so they support Vulkan. It's very complex because it operates very close to the hardware, but much of it can be avoided if you just since I don't need the graphics part, I don't need to look into swap chains and image stuff and that kind of thing. I can just avoid all of that. I just need to be able to run compute shaders. One of the advantages that Vulkan actually has over CUDA is that the binaries that result from it are relatively small, while in CUDA you always end up with a lot of device code, and this ends up getting, if you support multiple devices, it's more device code, and that kind of thing gets big very quickly, so you end up with binaries that are like hundreds of megabytes large or even larger. I think QBLAST itself, which is CUDA's BLAST library, is multiple gigabytes of device code. And this in Vulkan, you don't immediately have the problem because the driver interprets and creates the device code on the fly. So the first obstacle I ran into is that Vulkan is extremely verbose. So for any step, like in this case, like the first thing you need to do, you always initialize a struct, fill it with some data, run some operation, put it into another struct, and so on. So in this case, like you initialize in a VK application info struct, you pick your instance extensions, which can, there's stuff like validation layers, which which basically yell at the developer when he's done something wrong, that kind of thing. And then you create the next thing, which in this case would be an instance create infrastructure, and you actually create the instance. You query physical devices. There's another like differentiation there between physical and virtual devices, and so on. So that kind of chain just keeps on going, and so you end up with a lot of code that you have to write just to get going, basically. In this case, you need to hide all of this behind functions. So when you use CUDA, you already have stuff like CUDA memcopy, where you can copy data from the CPU to the GPU. In this case, you don't. You have to write it yourself. There are some libraries which help you with that, but as a little bit of a personal challenge, I decided to just use the Vulkan API itself and do everything myself. That ends up with a lot of work just for the boilerplate stuff. So a few examples like instance initialization, buffer creation, shader loading, command buffers, shader invocations and copying. All of that needs to be hidden away behind functions. And only then can you start actually using the device for anything useful. So the second obstacle was that GLSL is the shader language that you use to write compute shaders. It's not immediately, it's not as user-friendly as CUDA is. So in CUDA, you can just write the device code directly into a C++ file. In GLSL, you need to write a separate compute shader in its own file, compile that to spell V, and then somehow load that intermediate representation and send it to the driver, and the driver compiles that into something that it can execute. One of the big differences here is that there are no pointers, at least in base GLSL. That means there's no pointer casting. There was already a CUDA backend that I could orient, or that I could use as orientation, but since it based a lot of its operation on pointer magic, like pointer casting and that kind of thing, I had to translate all of that into something else. That avoided that, which at times can be very verbose. In the kernels, you need to take care because there's a lot of, Vulkan supports a big chunk of hardware, but not every piece of hardware supports the same things. I mentioned 16-bit floats earlier. They are supported by most Vulkan devices, but not by all of them. And so you need to, in the shaders where it matters, you need to provide a 16-bit implementation and a 32-bit implementation. And the only way to do that in GLSL is with macros. And so you end up with, in some cases, with code that's rather hard to read. But the advantage of doing all of this in GLSL and with the Vulkan is that the support actually goes back to AMD-GCN, the first AMD-GCN generation, which was, I think, 2011. Which Mesa is still maintaining support for, and NVIDIA Kepler, which is the 600 series, I think, and of course the Intel GPUs, all of them can, in the end, run the code that you write here. But the last, the third and the probably largest obstacle I ran into is that there is no BLAST library for Vulkan. So there was no easy way doing the matrix multiplication myself. In CUDA, you can use QBLAST, and in OpenCL, I was able to use CLBLAST, and here I didn't, so I had to write the matrix multiplication shader myself. Luckily, there was some work by Simon Böhm, who spent some time optimizing CUDA matrix multiplication kernels to try to reach the speed of QBLAST, and I was able to port some of that work to Vulkan, to GLSL, and use it to do matrix multiplications for Llama CPP. And in this case, it took me around 6 months of working in the evening and on weekends, besides my job, to get this finished, to implement all of the operations, and to create a pull request in Llama CPP that was absolutely massive. I think there were 7,000 lines of code or something, and a lot more data that came. with it. But at that point, you could run actual language models using Vulkan on GPUs that previously couldn't run any large language models anymore at all, because they have no support for CUDA, they have no support for ROCm. So basically, Vulkan's the last thing they have that can kind of work. OpenCL might work in some cases, but in this case, like Vulkan actually made a difference. So last thing here. So Vulkan code is supposed to be vendor agnostic, so you write something and it runs anywhere, basically, as long as the hardware supports everything you do. But sadly, it's of course not that easy, and each implementation has its quirks, and so a lot of time after that was spent like debugging stuff. I had to build a server with GPUs from every vendor. So in this case, like the bottom one is Intel Arc, there's a Radeon above that, and an RTX NVIDIA GPU at the top, just so I can run the code I write on every device and check that it actually works, or if someone reports a bug, I can debug it. And there's still a lot of stuff to do. There's like 7 open pull requests right now that I don't have time right now to work on. So just quickly, the community in LlamaCP, since there are a lot of developers here, if someone wants to join it, there's all of the interactions on GitHub. It's just issues and discussions there, basically. You can contribute anything you want in pull requests and have in my experience, civil discussion with, there's a lot of nice people there that will help you and give you good feedback. There's a base team of maintainers, some backend maintainers, like I'm still responsible for what I wrote there and trying to maintain the work in backend. And there's a lot of smaller contributors that do their own thing in smaller like chunks. There's a lot of, like, recently I got support from Jeff Boltz by NVIDIA, which is very nice. Like, he has much more experience than me in writing and debugging Vulkan code, and was able to speed up a lot of code, and I'm still trying to understand exactly what he's doing there and learning from it how to optimize GPU code, and also some GCN optimizations and quantization methods that were previously not supported, like the IQ quants we heard about earlier. That's it. Thank you. If you have some questions or something, you can reach me on Matrix, Discord, or GitHub. And yeah, that's it.
And Ruben should be walking that direction, so if you have any questions for him, please.